Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and my guest today is Jason Zander. Jason, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me back.
The last time you were here, it was to introduce Visual Studio 11 Beta, and that was great. And I tell my guests, you're always welcome back, but if you come back on the show, you have to one-up it. You have to show me something that's newer and more cool than the last thing you showed.
Yes.
So what do you have for us today?
Well, good news. So we've been busy, so we have a new version of Visual Studio 2012.
Excellent.
So we're done with the code names.
We have a name.
We've got a name now.
And we have a release candidate, which is available for download now.
Yep. New logo.
Excellent.
All sorts of stuff. All sorts of brand new sort of stuff. So yes, we've been really busy working on the RC. We got a lot of great feedback on the beta. So I want to thank everybody who downloaded the beta, tried it out, gave us a lot of feedback about many, many parts of the product. So appreciate that. So we've been trying to take action on a bunch of those things, and you'll see some of that reflected in the RC, and I'd love to show you some of that kind of stuff here today.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So where should we begin?
Well, we've done a number of things, even starting off up front when you set up the product, right? So we've actually done some work on setup. Mm-hmm. One of the things that didn't make it into the RC, but we knew we wanted to do, was be able to factor the setup. So we've actually got, tried to make that really super easy. You can go through and factor certain things out.
All right, so in beta, it was you installed it all. You didn't have the ability to not install something that you didn't necessarily
use. The whole thing, right? And so, and you know, you're not necessarily using every single part of it.
Right.
So we've got it back now with the RC where you can go through and uncheck certain things and take those off. Of course, you can still install everything. One of the other things we did is we worked on the setup time. And so setup itself, if you did a full install, you're going to be 20% faster.
Wow, because the beta was relatively fast compared to previous versions to begin with.
A lot of people actually noticed that. We actually worked on the UI, and we did work on the perf already because, you know, it was getting slower and slower. So we made it faster, but it's like, let's keep going. So we got another 20% RC. And of course, if you unselect some of the features, if you decide you don't need those, it'll get even smaller. You can cut a few gigs off, you know, some more time, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So new logo, new looks, new setup. I mean, it's a great place to start and kind of jump in, but we didn't stop there. So lots of stuff.
So let's see some.
Yeah, so let me go through. I want to show off a few demos. Uh-huh. And of course, we've got new stuff across the board. We've got stuff for XAML and HTML, for the web, for the desktop, for the Metro style apps and those sorts of things. All of the languages. We don't have 5 hours. it's going to take us entire conferences to explain all this.
Right.
So I'm going to try and go through and pick a little bit from a lot of these areas, just so you can kind of see some of the new content that's there. Now, the first thing I want to do is I want to start off, and let's go ahead and launch an application here. We'll pull this up. One of the things you can see right away is this is updated user interface for the system. We did get a lot of feedback around color.
A lot.
That was that was one of the
pieces
of feedback.
A lot of helpful feedback
on the color and that sort of thing. So you're going to notice a few things right off the bat. One, we have gone back in and added some additional color into the system. You'll see, for example, that I've got some colors inside of the icons now. We did change over to vector art for this go-around.
I noticed that uncomment now looks like a comet.
It looks like a comet.
Excellent.
Yes, I kind of like that. It's a little bit easier in green and red, so you can kind of pick that apart, which is kind of cool. We also had a little bit more color inside of some of the files. So, for example, C# file actually has a nice little green C#. My favorite, the one I asked for, the green triangle. Got to have the green triangle.
Yep.
So that's cool. Once I start then going in, I can actually start picking things apart in the Solution Explorer. You'll see some additional stuff if you start going down into the content and things like that for various of those. Object Explorer, some of the other views, tool windows, and things like that. You'll start to see some of the colors start to come back in. In addition to that, you'll notice that the tab wells also have got color. That was more of a gradient, a little more subtle. I mean, we still want to stick with the theme, which was to really help draw your eye and your focus and your core work area. In this case, it happens to be the editor, but it could also be a forms designer, the debugger, those sorts of things as well. But you also see that the status bar actually matches the color. As I do some more demos, you'll see as we move into different states, for example, once I go ahead and do debugging, you'll see the status bar change in color, kind of helps you understand which mode you're in, a few more visual clues. We also, a lot of people didn't like, the dark gray that we had. So that's been lightened up to add more kind of focus. You'll see more colors in here. And a little bit easier to tell the difference between enabled, disabled. So a lot of work on the fonts. We also have gone through and got rid of the all caps here and some of the other treatments that people weren't 100% excited about. We still do have some of that content. I mean, a lot of the feedback we're hearing now is about the all cap stuff. And that is part of the theme that we've got. But this one in particular resonated well with me when the truncation, for example, was harder to read. And you'll see kind of like when we put things on the side and pin. Right. It's a little bit easier to see what you're activating and that kind of stuff. So a number of UX improvements.
Definitely.
And we'll continue to make changes throughout the system, and keep going from there. But we wanted to respond to a lot of the user feedback that's in there, and we've gotten some good responses back from people so far. Mm-hmm. So that's the first piece. The other thing I should also mention, I mentioned that we've improved the performance for setup. We also spent a lot of time, again, in the RC on just core performance of the product. I heard a lot of really great feedback on beta. People were pleased to see project open and typing and debugging speed and these sorts of things. We worked very, very hard on that. We've actually been working on the entire release, and so we've continued on within the RC. We just released, we've got a number of posts that we've been doing kind of explaining that work, and there's some new ones that have gone out, both on typing speed. There's some more that are coming out on Toolbox and explaining how we worked with the Toolbox. Turns out the perf of Toolbox is not just being able to show it in the application, but there's a lot of stuff that happens in the background, and we need to change that. And it turns out that Toolbox, even if you weren't showing, was actually slowing you down. So we're fixing that stuff. Just one concrete example in the RC. At this point, when you're using C++ and you're doing IntelliSense and typing, we instrumented throughout the product at the start of the cycle every key press, so we know exactly what happens every time you press a key. And of course, you're pressing a key, it's not just pasting it, right? I mean, it's parsing it, it's looking for errors, it's finding IntelliSense, it's popping up the windows, and there's a lot of stuff happening.
Right.
C++ at this point, 99.5% of the keystrokes, when you make them in C++, are gonna run in less than 50 milliseconds.
Cool.
So very fast, you should feel much more kind of an interactive sort of thing. So just an example. Okay, so that's kind of the core portion of the IDE and some of the kind of UX changes and stuff like that. Let's go ahead and switch gears a little bit, and I want to actually show some web projects. And in this case, we want to do a couple of things. Let's go ahead and create a new web project, and let's pull this up. We'll do a file, new project, and let's find our MVC project templates. Here I've got MVC 4. Let me create a C# application. I'll go ahead and click OK on that. We'll make it an internet application.
Before you do that, I noticed that there was now an empty and a blank.
There's an empty and a blank, yes. And so one of the things that the MVC team has done is empty is truly empty.
Okay.
Okay, blank gives you kind of the core support.
So the blank was pretty stripped down, but not literally empty.
Down.
Now empty is just flat out empty.
It's flat out
Excellent.
Empty. Right. Okay. So there's some requests for that, so now you have the right thing. So I clicked over too fast, sorry, now you can really create an empty project. Now, in this case, we have an internet application that's all set up here and ready to go. Now, one of the things, if I go over into Solution Explorer, you use the views, and the shared state gives me the initial layouts. And so that gives me kind of the overall flow and template, in this case, in the Razor syntax that I have for different partitions. And you can see one of the new things that's part of this is being able to pull together my styles, my scripts, all these sorts of content in here. That's great. When I'm in debug mode, one of the things I'm going to do on compilation is I've got it set to debug equals true.
Okay.
And in this case, that's helping with diagnostics. Okay, so I actually want to see what's going on. I need to be able to see all the files, everything that's kind of coming through. It kind of makes sense. If I go ahead and hit F5 on that, it'll compile up the application. We'll go ahead and launch it inside of the browser so we get it up and running. It's a pretty straightforward application that we're going to be using, with the MVC template. You can see that we can flow and everything else like you'd expect.
Yep.
One of the things I want to do, I'm going to hit F12, so pull up F12 tools, the tools built into the browser. I'll click network, and I'm going to go do start capturing. Now, when I start capturing, I'll hit F5 to refresh the browser, and put the focus up here, and now you can see we're recording everything that's coming down. So all the gets, all the user interface. Notice all of the CSS
each
files.
Each individual file, one at a time, 22
popping.
Items total.
And we've got about 12.74K, so I can see, so it's a new app.
It's a pretty small application, but
it's not empty, so there's some stuff, but expect it to be there. So, okay, good. So that makes sense. Let's go ahead and close down the browser on here. Now, when I get further along, I'm going to be ready to deploy. So I'm going to go ahead and change this over to false. And as I go over to false, now all of that layout and control work that I've done, I'm really telling ASP.NET that I really want you to optimize my overall code, my package layout, et cetera. So if I go ahead and click network, and I go do a start capturing, and then I refresh the page again, we're still going to pull some stuff down, but as you see.
Only 11 items.
We're doing
the
bundling.
The size is about half.
Half the items. We've removed, you know, several K off of the overall size. And of course, this is a trivial example. It's File New Project. So as you can imagine, we start building out really huge application, yeah. Tons of assets. You know, the ability to bundle that, reduce the round trips, get the overall size down. You know,
so you get bundling and minification by nothing more than a config setting.
And
you flick a switch. You turn debug equal true to false, and you automatically get bundling and minification.
Five characters.
That's
and you're
awesome.
Good to go. So I love that. That's a cool productivity feature. Makes it super simple. So a couple of interesting things there that you can kind of get up and running out of there. So let's close that one back down. So that's cool. Let's go on to another application here. I happen to have this one open. We just had it open a little bit ago before. This is also an MVC application. Mm-hmm. This one's using Entity Framework, and it's using POCO, the code-first objects. And so with this, I'm able to write an MVC app to sit on top of my data, my database, in this case, you know, SQL Server, mm-hmm. And all that kind of content. If you can see here, I've actually got the dinner.cs. This is my model. So my model basically helps me see which fields are going to have. This is going to get turned into the database at runtime. The fields in here are going to turn into columns, you know, that sort of thing. It basically helps us figure out how to generate the underlying schema. If I pull up Package Manager Console, I'm going to do a few steps here that are going to help me enable some new stuff. So this is always great. You start off with your database, get it up and running. Your data is going to stay the same forever, right?
Of course.
Yeah, of course. It's
and
easy.
The second you make a change, it
I'm
breaks
done.
Because you've got code first. So now we have these things called code first migrations.
Exactly. So we need to go ahead and fix this. So
they've been around for a little while.
We've had the migrations, but we've added some additional support inside of here. So let's go to the Package Manager console in here. The first thing I want to do is I want to do enable migrations. This is Entity Framework. We'll hit enter on this. This is actually going to set my project up so that it can handle doing the migrations. So the up and down steps for the schema, all the rest of that kind of stuff. I'm in my initial state, so I'd like to be able to
the same thing that I do constantly. Yeah. The cursor.
I hit the cursor.
The cursor
in the wrong
winds
one.
Up in the code. I've already talked to. The team about changing that.
Yeah, I think that would be good. So one more thing we can fix for RC. All right, so what I want to be able to do is do an add migration. So I'm going to add one, and I'm going to call this one initial. And so in this case, when I add this, this is going to go back and interrogate my schema. Mm-hmm. It's going to figure out what the heck it looks like right now, and it's going to give me a file here that actually has the initial database create. So in this case, create the tables, you know, add the contents, set the primary keys, you know, all very straightforward, makes sense, because that's my initial experience that I'm going to wind up having. Yeah. So now I'm happy with the application. One of the things I want, let's go ahead and do a build. One of the things I want to be able to do now is I'm going to be able to go off and go do a
update
publish.
The database first?
So, we need to do that. Thank you. We'll do update database. That's the last step, thank you. And what that's going to do is actually go through and take that new migration that I just created, execute it against, you know, my database, and I'll get that. So now my tables are in place. Yep. Thanks, so we're good. So I enabled it. I created the initial migration, source code form, so we got it, and it's versioned. And now I've updated my database, so everything's in sync. So the last thing I want to do, let's go ahead and do a publish. So I'm going to right-click. I'm going to go ahead and do a publish against it. What I can do here is do an import, and I have some publisher settings. This is kind of cool. This is a real time saver because when you get your hoster is typically now going to give you these publishing mm-hmm. settings, which is nice. That way I can just go ahead and import them. They give me a bunch of the default fields that match my hosting system. It's a heck of a lot easier than trying to go through their help pages and that kind of stuff. So that's pretty cool. So if I go ahead and click on next, we'll move through in the settings. Here, I can go through and apply code first migrations.
Then we're also going to put
the config string in here. Thank you. So now at this point, we have our config string in here. When the thing runs, we're going to be able to do so. Once I get published, the production database, I'm going to be able to go ahead and apply those, get that in place. Now, if I go ahead and look at the preview and go ahead and do a start, it's going to determine all the changes. So this is cool. So now I get all the things that are going to happen when I push up on top. All these files are going to wind up getting added, pushed up into the system because they're out of date. In this case, I'm kind of doing my initial publishing, mm-hmm. and so I'm good to go. I'm going to go ahead and click publish. Now publish is going to pick up that content, you know, get it all built, everything else. We don't need to
close our F12 tools. You've launched this is now going against the server you published this to.
That's right.
This is awesome. I've been more of a client guy than a web guy myself, and I've always felt that one of the big impediments to doing web development is how do you get the stuff onto the web server? This is
so many
now
stages.
Easy.
Yeah,
this is awesome.
Yeah, with the client, you know, yeah, it's a little bit contained. You know, here we have a lot of steps, which of course helps with the scale. It's designed for that. But yeah, the more we can make this easier in the tool, the better. So we have our sample app. I can actually go in now. I can create records inside of that and do that. Let's look at one last thing in here, though. So I'll close that application down. Now, the last thing I'm going to show you is, of course...
Now we need to make changes, because we talked about it.
Because we talked about it, yeah. So let me uncomment this field. So we add a new field into this. And, of course, we'd probably go ahead and update the UI and all the rest of that kind of stuff as well, which makes sense. But what I want to do, actually, is go back and do an add migration. And we added this new one called Num of Stars. So if I add migration, it's going to go back, interrogate the database as I have it, compare it to the new schema change that I just made, and it's going to give me a new migration, a new version here, Num of Stars, and when I go ahead and upgrade, we'll add that new column. And of course, if I basically downgrade, I'll remove the column. Right. So all the steps are basically there, ready to go. So I could repeat the same sort of steps. And so now as I continue to migrate back and forth and make changes and keep building the app, I've got all the steps and I can actually have it make sense for me. So
awesome.
It's a pretty cool feature.
That is cool.
So really love a bunch of the new stuff that we've got in here. Okay, so that gives us through some of the web content. Let's switch over and do some design.
Cool.
So design will be fun. So we've got the new versions of Blend. Let me go ahead and launch the Blend product over here. And the first one I want to pull up, we're doing Metro style applications here. So I'm going to pull up a file called Memory. And this is a game where I'm going to have basically a game board. It's going to have like a matching game, right? So I've got a bunch of tiles.
This is a XAML application.
Yeah, XAML, this is a XAML. We'll show this in just a second. But let's get back over here. This is a XAML C# application. Okay. Let's control plus it a little bit so we can actually see the content. So this is XAML and C#. And of course, we support C#, VB, C++ with XAML. And in a minute, I'll show you HTML and JavaScript. Basically, all the skill sets you've got, they're going to apply. So I've got the game board sitting up over here. One of the content that we have on here is the card template. This is a user-defined control. So if I double-click that one, you can see it is actually a little picture. Mm-hmm. And, it's a matching game. So it makes sense that I'd have a picture and kind of a bounding rectangle, that kind of thing. If I click on states, I have multiple states this control can be in. So if it's face down, then it's just going to be like, hey, here's the card. You can press it. It's face up, and if it's matched. And the only problem we have...
They kind of look the same.
They look exactly the same. We need to restyle that. Okay, so it's face up, that means I'm still playing. So it's kind of like I want it selected. I want to be able to tell that it's selected. So one of the things we have for the RC in Blend, we make it really easy to start doing theme animation. So if I add a new theme animation, I'll pick fade out. If I go in here, I can do a frosted rectangle and go ahead and include that. And then boom. Okay, so now I can actually tell the difference between it's matched versus its selection. I'm kind of in the middle of the content. Now, let's go back over to the game board, and we'll get this guy up here and reloaded. And one of the things you'll see is, I'm starting to display the user control. You see a little orange triangle here. That's just basically telling me that my source code is out of date.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and select that, go ahead and do a build. That'll keep everything basically kind of back up to where we want. Okay, good. That looks good. Now, the next thing that we want to be able to do is I need to kind of make sure that my design is going to work. And, of course, we're going to be running this game on basically Windows 8 Metro style, but on Windows kind of Slate devices.
Right.
So they're going to have multiple different form factors. And
so what you can do is you can exit Blend, you can fire up Visual Studio, you can run this in the simulator, see what it looks like, leave the simulator, come back to Blend, forgot what it looked like in the first place, right? That's pretty much our solution.
You could do all of those things. That is absolutely possible. I think the Blend guys are going to help us out here.
You could do that, but we have a better idea.
Could.
Why don't
we're
you
doing
do this without leaving Blend?
Yes, that'd be nice. And so if I click on the Devices tab, I got a bunch of stuff. I can actually check, what scale it is, how big it's going to be. But one of the nice parts here is the view. And the view mode on here, and let me hit Control-0 so we can kind of see the entire board here. Mm-hmm. But this gives me a snap state. So if I have another app snap to the left and mine to the right, here's what it'll look like. If I rotate it on a tablet kind of vertically, here's what my app is going to look like. And then another one, if I'm snapped over to the left, then here's what I'm going to look like. Right. So I can look at all of them.
And as I never tire of telling people, and I never will tire of telling people, you have to design for snapped and filled.
Yes.
Because people can snap your app, which means they will snap your app. And if your snap doesn't adjust properly, then people will think, well, it's broken, or it's a crappy app.
You got
and
it.
And why would you want it?
And then I'm going to rate you on the App Store, exactly. You know, up on the marketplace, yep. And then I go look at the app, and maybe this isn't such a great app.
Yeah.
So yeah, you do want to check every single one of these. So in this case, like if I look at this, I see that kind of experience. Like there's no way I'm going to see these pictures.
Right.
Right. And so that probably doesn't make sense. It might make more sense for me to come down here and actually pick, you know, the different portions of this. Let me grab these two. And when I'm in this mode, I probably am just going to be easier if I go ahead and collapse those. Mm-hmm. Just take them off the screen. So then I can actually see what the match, you know, data looks like and stuff like that. And of course, I could do some additional design, fill it out, maybe give a different view when it's off to the side.
Yep.
But the main thing is it's now going to look reasonable and someone can be, you know, be able to go back and forth. So that gives me a very simple way of doing a few things, user controls, some of the animation sort of pieces in there, and being able to see the device view. So a few new things that's in Blend. So, okay, let's go ahead and minimize this one. And I want to go ahead and launch another instance of Blend. And in this case, let's go ahead and look at HTML.
Okay.
So let me go ahead and pull up another app that we've got running here. So we're going to go ahead and load this. HTML and JavaScript, and we're going to have full support here for our CSS and our HTML markup and that kind of stuff. In this case, this is a little app called Swagwatch. Cool thing about this, the content you're seeing up there, those aren't actually images. Those are actually shape and shape data. And it's being executed by JavaScript to actually give me the image that's in there. So one of the cool things about our design space is we're actually using the browser and browser controls, but we have put the artboard and the designer pieces on top. So I can actually see this. So I'm interacting with it as a designer, but it's still executing underneath. If you were using another product, you might actually see a bunch of red X's,
right.
You know, all over the screen. So you wouldn't know exactly what was, you know, what was happening. So that's a really cool piece of functionality that we've added for HTML with Blend. Now, one of the things we have new for the RC is the ability to go through and do multiple images and components for my background, be able to do that editing and that design. So we're going to go ahead and play with that. What I want to do is, first of all, though, I want to hide a couple of these elements so I can actually see the content that's behind it. So now I just got my screen. They're still there, but I'm not displaying them up on the screen, so it's easier for me to understand. I go ahead and grab the main content, and if I look over here at CSS properties, this has given me the default views of CSS, mm-hmm. And of course I have a text window open down here too. It's also showing me some of the content. So I want to go ahead and do some styling on this. So one of the things I'll do is I'll go down to the background. Let me expand that. I'm going to go ahead and add something new. Let's go ahead and add a gradient. And now we also have a gradient editor here. So if I click on the gradient, that's going to pop it up. And I can now start, you know, doing my editing features. So if I grab this stop right here, let's put it about over here in the middle. Maybe I'll go ahead and make that one white. If I grab this one, I can make it black. And now I can see, okay, great. So I'm starting to get, you know, some of the kind of a gradient background that I want. That's just one thing. Let's go ahead and add something else in here. So I'm going to go ahead and grab a picture, and I'm going to change this into an image that I've got stored as part of my project. So this background. Now you can't see it yet because layering wise, the gradient's on top. So if we click plus, that'll basically move us up a little bit further. So that puts us in a decent spot. One of the things I do want to do, though, is that I want to actually make sure that this gradient, which, you know, kind of designed to be a more custom kind of background that, you know, sits in there. Let's go ahead and move the position of that to the bottom, and let's do a no repeat option for that. Now, as I move that along, okay, so I can actually then go back and look at this. Okay, we're starting to come along. I've got my kind of custom background on the bottom. I've got my gradient kind of sitting up there on top. One of the things I need to do, let's go to the gradient again and click on the gradient editor. And let's go ahead and move this click stop more to about 23%. Okay?
Okay,
so it gives us a little bit more space. So you see we're starting to come along a little bit. Still not too happy with this color transition.
It's pretty abrupt.
It's pretty abrupt, yeah, we don't like that. So if we go ahead and grab the eyedropper here, and I now go over, let's pick the top of my custom image, and you know, let's grab something right about there. And now when that's reset, okay, good. So now I've got the gradient on top, I've got the custom, but they kind of blend, you know, really nicely in with each other.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is I've got multiple images, you know, or multiple components in here, and they're all layering in, and I was able to do both right inside. And of course, we're updating all the content live as we go. Now, if I come back over into my main display, let's go ahead and show our core components and our content. And you can see that we're now back to having the image over top, my customs on the bottom, my gradient kind of comes through on the top. Okay, so far so good.
Yeah.
So, something new for the RC, really kind of advanced
features. Pretty good looking for a developer.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's amazing how that happens. Luckily, there are people that are skilled at that because I know it's not me. yes, I'm a stick figures and console app kind of guy. But this is pretty cool though. So if I go over here, let's go ahead and grab the image. One of the other things I'd like to do is just show off a couple of the new features that we have. In particular, I think we can add some effects in here. As you see, we've actually gone ahead and copied up the core component that's sitting up here, and that looks pretty cool. One of the things I want to do is add some features into here. So I'm going to go ahead and grab the image out of the side. And if I right-click this one, I can actually go through and I can add a new class. And if I add a new class, I can add this in here. I'm going to type in logo. I'm going to tell it to go ahead and create a new class. So I click OK. And what this is actually doing is it's putting up here my style sheet. You can see over here in default, I've actually got that sitting down here as well, so I can edit, you know, that particular content. Now, we have a bunch of cool features here. One of the things I want to be able to do is go ahead and add some effects into the system. So I'm going to add a transform and a transition and a couple of things together here. So if I scroll down here, let's go ahead and expand the transform. If I go ahead and click the plus, I can add a new translate transform. And one of the things I'm going to do, I'm going to grab the X and watch the way this works. This is pretty cool.
It's moving.
Yeah. So as I change that property, the actual logo is moving. My text editor is updating to tell me what's going on, and my property grid is updating as well, so I kind of know. So with the translate, I'll be able to say, look, every time you run this one, I want you to move 50 pixels on the x-axis, pull the thing over. Okay, looks very very straightforward. Now, I probably don't want to have that happen instantaneously. Let's put some timer in there. So if I go down into the transition, I can do an add on the transition, and I can maybe make this about maybe a half a second on the transition. And let's change this and bind it into the transform piece. So what that basically says is, hey, when you apply the transform, I want the transform to happen in this half second kind of delay, so we can kind of see you know, the motion of those two kind of going back together. All right, so that's pretty cool. But one of the things I want to do here is all the stuff is now kind of in line, and I'd like to be able to pull that back out and apply an effect to it. So I've got the editing and the transforms, they're saved, they're in the system, but they're not hooked up in the right kind of way. So let's go ahead and hit this little guy right here, and here you can see I can do a cut. Now, when I do the cut, I've actually pulled that content back onto the clipboard, so I can now actually use that. So this is pretty cool, being able to do cut and paste of CSS and markup and elements.
So you've pulled it out of the logo.
I pulled it out of that. Yeah, pulled out the transform out of that.
Right.
And I didn't show it before, but I can do it on the other ones too. Like I had an inline style, probably not the right way to leave the code. I could also right click that guy and cut that onto the clipboard and paste it into style. So this ability I don't know if you've ever had to go into CSS and you find the property, you know, the rules, the applied styles that are in there. It's like, I want this one and that one. I want to refactor this over here. It's like, this is kind of cool because I can just use cut and paste and actually move it around on the different sort of parts. Okay, so I've got that on the clipboard. If I go over here to logo, I can say add a style rule after. And now I can add this in here, and I can actually add it as an effect. So if I say hover, okay, that's cool. If I right-click this one, and I can basically say, let's go ahead and paste properties.
That's nice.
You see what I'm saying? Yep. So I've done the design. I'm happy with it. Pulled it out, added it in here. And if I pull down over here onto the image, you can see I have the logo hover. Mm-hmm. So it's pasted right in there with the right markup, matches the class with the hover effect, has the transform, it's going to run. If I go ahead and roll into interactive mode, yes, I want to go ahead and reload. That's fine. Reload the content so I can run it interactively. And if I scroll back up over here, you can see that I have my little half second transition, my move on the X. Very, very straightforward.
Interesting effect to add to a Metro style app.
But. I don't know if I'd do it in a Metro style app.
But it
Jensen may not be happy with me. But yeah. But
to show the feature.
To show the feature. I mean, you can see how easy it is to kind of go back and forth. So that's probably really, I agree with you on the style guidelines. Makes sense. We should make sure we do the right thing. But nonetheless, the ability to move stuff around, the cut and paste, all the sort of editing and pieces in here, and just the multiple backgrounds. So a bunch of cool new stuff.
Blend rocks.
Blend is awesome. It's really awesome. So, you see some, in the fact, you know, which is really cool, and I've been using this personally on my app building, the fact that I can do the DOM inspection, the properties and everything else in here. I've got Page Inspector with MVC, so I can actually host and actually see the same thing, control styles, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, my F12 tools, but then I've also got the ability to, you know, do the views for my JavaScript applications and everything else. So that ability to inspect, look at the content, you know, kind of figure out what's going wrong, and have the system actually understand how the markup compares to what you see. I mean, that whole integration, Personally, I think we've just gotten started. This is already pretty powerful, but you know, that concept, we're kind of applying it everywhere. So I think it's a really cool part of Visual Studio 2012. So,
yes.
Good one. So let's look at one last demo. And one of the things I want to do is we've got a new version of Visual Studio Light Switch. So I want to go ahead and pull up Visual Studio. And the cool thing here is Visual Studio Light Switch actually came out after Visual Studio 2010. Okay, so we released that standalone, and it's now caught up with the main product. So if I grab this, from now on, you'll be able to grab Light Switch and just run it inside of Visual Studio Pro and above. That's how you'll get a hold of it. So you won't have the standalone SKU, but you'll find it here inside of Visual Studio. I'll go ahead and create a new Visual Studio Light Switch application in Visual Basic. Let's go ahead and click OK on that. And create a new application. Here we also got a lot of great feedback on features that people would like to see. So we've got great support for attaching to entities and data, we can attach to SharePoint. That all exists in the current version of Visual Studio Light Switch. But we also wanted the ability to go off and grab at other data sources that are available. So one of the things we've added is some really great OData support. So if I attach to an external data source, you'll see OData right in the list.
Excellent.
Which is cool. If I click on next over here.
Because in the previous version, to talk to OData, you had to build a RIA service wrapper around it, which, you know, was kind of doable, but it's
totally
a lot of plumbing work. Why should you have to do that?
Yeah, exactly. And we had people do it and that kind of stuff. But we really wanted the first class OData support. I mean, it's standard. I mean, that's kind of its job, right? It's what you kind of want to be able to see out of that. Now, just to keep us from, you know, watching me try and type and mistype, I'm going to grab the URL for this and paste this in. This is a Netflix feed for OData version 2, you know, on the catalog. This one allows anonymous access, so I'm just going to go ahead and click next on this and attach to that. We're in read-only mode, which is fine. If I expand that, so it's queried Netflix and said, hey, okay, what do you got? In this case, what I'm interested in is the title. So we can pull back the data, all the movie titles and stuff like that. We can actually start, you know, writing screens on it. Okay, pretty cool. I click finish. This is going to be smart enough. It interrogates through. It figures out, okay, you only pulled down titles, so I'm going to exclude this one because you didn't pull down that one. This is the sort of stuff, otherwise you'd be, like you mentioned, writing the wrapper service. You've got to go figure this out.
Exactly.
Right, so we're going to look through it for you and say, well, this is probably what you want. You didn't ask for the other stuff, so we're not going to give it to you.
Right.
And we'll
but there's a schema. Visual Studio's read the schema, and it's clever about what you can and can't do, given that you only want titles.
That's right. So we'll go ahead and click continue on this. And that's going to go ahead and pull back in our main entity. So this is the view of the OData feed that we have on here. Let's go ahead and pull up properties. And as you can see through here, we've got a whole bunch of different things. Our summary property on here, we can go ahead and change that into name. That's good. Some of the other things we did, you notice here, for example, is the URL. And from a data type perspective, one of the new data types we've got is web address.
Excellent.
And we've also got some other stuff. There's a business type called percentage. You know, like the point of the data types is to say, look, there's some kind of higher level logical data types, business types that you'd like. And of course, the underlying, they're just strings or decimals or, you know, like that. But we want some behavior associated with them.
You get the built-in formatting, and then sometimes you actually get built-in UI.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool, right?
Yeah, and you get the validation and all the rest, like the formatting, like you said, validation. So if I go ahead and add a new screen for this entity, I'm going to go ahead and say, let's do a list and details, and we'll go ahead and bind it to the Netflix catalog data for all the titles that are in there, and I'm going to go ahead and click OK. Now, with that, I'm going to get a default screen, as you say, and it's going to have all the properties that were pulled down, all the parts of the OData feed that we want. And I can probably just go ahead and use this. Let's just even do F5. We won't even write any code. Just attach and let's see what we've got. I mean, that's like the definition of a light switch app, is to get going fast. Now, the application's launching, it's running, it's pulling down the data from that and launching.
It looks a little different.
It's a little different.
It?
This is the Cosmo shell. So this is another new shell. So this is the Cosmo shell that we have up here. And as you can see, we have fetched back all the data that's required. I can pull up on the Mask of Zorro. It looks pretty interesting. And I can see all the fields that are in here. That's all pretty cool. That came off the OData feed, and of course, if I wanted to, I'm in debug mode, so I can go ahead and click on design screen.
Yep.
This is, you know, a feature we've had already, but it allows me then to go do things like, hey, I'll just do I only need the short synopsis, so let's delete the old one. I can keep making a bunch of changes to the screen live until I get it kind of the way I want. And I could, you know, we could keep making it pretty and add some images and JPEGs and, you know, and all the rest of that kind of stuff in here, but very straightforward.
That's cool.
So a bunch of cool new features in Light Switch, in web, in design. Like I said, we could keep going for hours, I think.
We could.
We don't have hours, but, you know, like there's a lot of cool stuff in here. So
that's awesome. So that's a quick look at some of the cooler things that are new in the brand new release candidate of Visual Studio 2012, available now for download. Get it, play around with it, get us feedback. We are late in the game. We're getting closer
we're
to
getting
shipping.
We're getting right down there.
We're getting right down there, yeah. But we're always interested in what people have to say.
Absolutely.
And that's great.
Great.
Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks a lot.
See you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.